Father, we do worship you today. We give thanks to you for all that has been done. We bless the name of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you once again on behalf of all of us who are here today and who are listening over Facebook Live. I want to give you thanks and praise and glory and honor for your being willing to lay down all you had in heaven and come and be made as a man and walk in this earth, submit unto death on the cross. And I thank you for that glorious resurrection that was worked in you, that we have life now in this earth today. And so we just give you praise and glory and honor. And Father, I ask as we study your word today that the Holy Spirit will minister to each person exactly those things that they need to hear, that I'll say only those things that you tell me to say, and that Jesus will be glorified as we learn how to move and act just as he did on this earth. So we give you praise, we give you glory, and we thank you once again. And it's all in the mighty name of Jesus that we do declare this. And everybody said with me, amen. Well, welcome to those of you online, as well as those of you who are joining us here. My name is Minton Williams. I'm a member here, and it's my honor to be able to minister to you today on resurrection power and authority. So I want to begin today by just reviewing a little bit of what we talked about last week. And with that, I want to just remind you that last week we were talking about resurrection power and authority. Resurrection power and authority. And as you hear this, just let it go deep down in you, because this is something that we must work to believe, and so that we can know and understand exactly what the Lord is expecting of us as we walk in this earth today. So we looked at resurrection power for healing and began to talk about that resurrection authority as well. We looked in Acts, the third chapter. And as we looked at Acts, the third chapter, we saw the healing of the man at the gate beautiful. And what happened there? Peter and John are coming in. They see this man who's begging. And they say to him, "Look at us." And then they speak to him, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And he stands up and he's walking and leaping and praising God. And we said last week, and I just want to reiterate, the Lord is interested in what we do, spirit, soul, and body. And that man was healed in his physical body. He was walking. He was joyful in his soul. All that had oppressed him with his being lame for all those years is gone, and he's rejoicing and he's praising God, seeing the power and experiencing that resurrection power of Jesus in his life. And so then all the people just went wild. They were carrying on. They were looking at Peter and John as though they were gods. And what did Peter say? He said, "Why do you look at us? We have some power or piety. It's not about us. It's because of the name of Jesus, the power that's in that name, that this man is up walking with you." And then what happened? Shortly after that, the rulers of the temple came, and temple guard came and took him in to be exposed to an inquiry, really. It said they set him in the midst of them. And they said, "By what power or by what name are you doing this?" And when they did, Peter and John responded, "Let it be known to you, to all of you," and this is in verse 10 of Acts 4, "and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you in good health." Now, when they said, "By what power or by what name," the word power there is dunamis, which means a miracle-working power. And so, when they said that then, they were saying, "By what miracle-working power are you doing this?" And then they said, "By what name?" And the word name there in the Greek literally means by what authority or by what character have you done this? And that's what we want to really get into today after we do this brief review. So we talked last week about resurrection power. and about all the power that was required to raise Jesus from the dead, overcome the devil, because it just wasn't about raising him. What was it about? All of us also being raised with him. And so I want you to just to think about that power for a minute. Think about another deliverance that took place with the children of Israel. When the children of Israel came and were ready to walk out, the death angel had gone through the city. But what had the power of God done? It kept them. It protected them from being injured, from being having their firstborns killed. And then as they walked out of Egypt, they came to the Red Sea. And what happened there? We saw the power of God as Moses lifted his rod. And what did the seas do? Part. And we think, gosh, what great power. But yet Scripture says it was just by a breath of the nostrils of God that that went back. And why do I say that? Because I want you to get in your mind the extent of the power that was used to raise Jesus, and more importantly, to raise you and I, so that we see that complete work that has been done. And that's what Ephesians 1:19 through 23 really tells us, that it was a surpassing greatness of his power, the most that I believe had ever been exhibited. And it talks about the working of the strength of his might in us and toward us. And we're going to get into why that's true today. When he raised Jesus from the dead and brought him up. And where did he seat Jesus when he raised him with that power? At his right hand, in that seat of authority, at the right hand of the Father. And I can't say that without saying who also was seated with him? You and I. They're in that position of authority. And that's important for what we're talking about today. And then it goes on to say that Jesus was given as head to the church, which is his body. And when I read that, it begins to make me think, since I'm in him and I'm part of his body, then what he possesses, I also have access to. And that's enough to make us shout that we have that kind of resurrection power dwelling in us. And I want you to look at Romans, the 8th chapter, the 11th verse. This is the only verse that I want you to put your eyes on today from last week. But it is essential that we understand this. And we know that the but if here is true. The spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. We can say that as fact. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. How? Through that spirit, through the union with his spirit in my spirit. Because what? He dwells in us. So just get this image in your mind that the same spirit that exerted all that power to raise Jesus from the dead dwells in your heart. I made a statement yesterday in some meetings we were in that it just overwhelms me. In fact, it's what I would term the epitome of his grace, that he would place his very own being in me. Gosh, what an awesome thought. What an awesome, loving God we have. So if we're in that position, then what we need to be able to see today is we also have access through Jesus to that same power, and I think we'll see today, to the same authority that he walked in here on this earth. Now, we closed last week by really praying for you a prayer out of Philippians 3:10-11, which simply says, Paul is writing to the Philippians and he says, it's my desire that he's talking about himself, but I'm going to put you in there. And so it's my desire that you know him, that you experience him intimately. That's what that word means. That you know him and the power of his resurrection. All that it accomplished. Not just a forgiveness of sins, as we've been talking about in some previous sessions, but everything that sin brought into the world when Adam sinned. All of that. His resurrection power has superseded. And then that prayer really closed by saying, we want to be brought into the complete conformity of the resurrected one. That's my goal. And that's who we've been made to be if we will just believe it and begin to walk in it. So today I want to really pick up from where we ended last week and what we've just talked about and talk about And I've entitled today, Go in My Authority. We're talking more about resurrection power and resurrection authority. And here we are talking about going in my authority. And what you're going to see is that you and I can walk in that same authority that we just talked about with Peter and John that spoke to the lame man. And what happened? Walking and leaping and praising God. That can be our expectation today here and for you at home, for at home. And let me just say to you again, when you feel this resurrection authority that we're going to be talking about today rise up in your heart, speak it out with your mouth, and begin rejoicing at home. And I believe you'll be touched just like the man at the Gate Beautiful was. And when that happens, come online and give us a testimony of what the Lord has done for you. So let me start today by just defining authority from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It says this about authority. Power to influence or power to command. So power to influence or power to actually command thought, opinion, and behavior. Now, I looked at some other synonyms and some other dictionaries, and I pulled these four words up from these definitions that I saw that really give you an idea of what authority means. It's to command. It's the ability to make something happen and with the power to do it. And that's a really important combination there. The ability to make or create with the power to enforce it or to do it. It's also influence. And it's also to give. Now, if you think about those four words, we'll begin to see that each one of those words is a verb, which means what? It requires some action on our part to do it. And so what we see here is that when we learn to walk in authority, we're not just going to sit back and take what's coming at us. We're going to go out and do some things. And what those things are going to be just in line with what Jesus did, just in line with what the disciples did. Because the acts of the Holy Spirit are in full swing today, and you and I have that opportunity to fulfill it in the world today. Now, we're going to be talking about the authority of a believer. And to me, the most simple definition of that authority of the believer is this phrase, delegated authority. Authority that is delegated to you and I, or we might say delegated power. Because what we're beginning to see here is that you can't take authority on one hand without the power to back it up. And we're going to see that over and over today. These things have a relationship. They go together. Now, if you tell me, or you ask me, are you saying that I have authority as Jesus did and as Peter and John did to command things on this earth? And I say to you, absolutely yes. But if you say to me, well, I can't believe that. Well, you can. It's a choice you have to make. Or you might say, I don't believe that. And you may not believe it because you've not seen how the Word of God teaches what authority we do walk in. And my prayer today is that your mindset totally changes so that you see the magnitude of the authority that we have. And I don't believe that the church overall has even come close to stepping into the fullness of that authority. So let's go to the book of Genesis to begin our discussion on authority. And let's look at some verses that lays out the Lord's authority, how He rules, and also His view toward man and the authority that we're talking about for you and I today, because it really began in creation. I mean, Genesis, the first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over all the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of those waters. And then this is the key to much of what we're talking about today. Once we can get this in our heart and believe it, it's not about just what we say. It's about believing what we say. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Literally, God said in the Hebrew language, light be. And I like the Young's Literal Translation. He's a gentleman who knows the Hebrew language well. And his translation after that is, light is. It just didn't become to be. It still is today. That's the eternal power of the spoken word. Now, does that surprise us that the King of the universe, the Father of the universe, would speak words? No. How do kings rule today? If a king wants a ditch to be dug over here, he's not going to say, bring me a shovel and him go do it. What's he going to do? He's going to say to his servants, to those who are under his authority, you go get a shovel, and I want a ditch from here to here in order to carry this much water. So what is he doing? He is executing his power through the spoken word. And that's something we just have to settle. This is from the very beginning of creation. Seven more times in this first chapter is the phrase, and God said, and God said, and God said. And every time God said that, something happened. Now, don't laugh at what I'm about to say, but do you think God had any doubt of when he said, light be, that light would not become? And do you know that's the same way we need to be with the authority that we have where we know his will and matters? Look at Genesis 1:26. In 1:26, he is creating man. And this is key. Then God said, so we were created in the same manner. And then it says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. That doesn't mean that each one of us looks like God. Together we all may look like God. But what it means is he's created us with that same spirit and that same ability, the same likeness he has to what? To speak things out. And he's also, as you see here in the next phrase, given Adam the authority to do that. He says, and let them rule. King James says, have dominion. Does that sound like we're executing authority? We're telling things what to do? And look who the rule is over. The fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the cattle, and over all the earth. But what's not in there? Man. We don't have that kind of rule over mankind. He's given man a free choice. But we can rule over the demonic forces in the air, and we can speak to the things on this earth. And they will respond to our voice, just like we saw with Jesus. And so God is telling man here, as he's creating him, I'm creating you, and I'm putting you in a position to represent me and my authority on this earth. I am delegating that authority to you. He also told him to watch over and keep it. Now go on over to the second chapter and look at the 19th verse. One of the things that the Lord did was as he formed all the, having formed all the beasts of the field and the birds, this says that he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Now, I think that's interesting. So he's bringing them to Adam, to man, so that he can speak over them. And look what it says. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was his name. So what did he do? He named those animals as he spoke over them. But one Jewish writer that I've read said concerning that the animals became what Adam spoke. So he called them by name and they became that name. That is the same way we are to exercise. Now I want you to exercise our authority. Now I want you to remember that Jesus was also represented in the first chapter of Hebrews as being the express image of the Father. What did he do? He came to earth not just to take care of the sin issue, but he also came to portray to you and I and to the people then what the Father was like. He came to represent him. And we're going to see he came under authority to do so. But in doing that, I want you to begin to get this picture that he is representing. Now, what does re mean? To do the same thing. He is showing who the Father is by everything he does and says. Let's see that. John, the 12th chapter. In John, the 12th chapter, the 49th verse, Jesus says, "For I do not speak on my own initiative." So what he just said is really a mouthful, because he said, "I'm not just saying what I want to do. It's not about my will." And then he continues on and says, "But the Father himself." So now he's pointing to the one whose will he has come to fulfill and whose heart he wants to satisfy and please. "But the Father himself, who has sent me, has given me a commandment to what to say and what to speak." So what do we learn from this? Well, from this one verse, we can see that Jesus is saying, it's not what I want, but I'm submitting myself to the Father's will in coming to earth. Now, we know, and it's important for us to note here, he laid down all his deity privileges. Everything that he was in heaven, he was as a man, but he laid down those deity privileges. Why? So when he says that we're to do as he did, that we're not trying to do that as the only begotten Son, but we're doing it as a resurrected, as a born-again believer, just like he became. And so he's saying, the Father gives me the command. In essence, he's saying, I am under his authority, but he's given me the command to speak. Therefore, what is he saying to us there? I have authority to speak. And then he goes on in verse 50 and says the same thing. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. So he set the stage for us to see how he is working as one who is submitted under authority, even to a point that others recognize that authority. In fact, we'll look at that in just a moment. Now look at John 14, verse 10. Really start in verse 9, if you can, for me. In 14, 9. In that ninth verse, Philip has just spoken to Jesus, and he says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll make it all good." And Jesus comes back with this verse. Now, he's been made in the image of man, so whose image is he created in? The Father, and who he was in heaven as well. So Jesus says to him in verse 9, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not come to know me?" In other words, you've missed the point on a lot that I've been doing. "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Now that sounds like he came to represent the Father. "How can you say then, show us the Father?" And then in verse 10, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me?" Now does that sound like the relationship that we have as we abide in the vine? As we abide in him and he in us? Yes. And then he says, "The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative." So he's reaffirming what he's saying. The Father tells me what to speak. But then this last phrase is critical to us in understanding authority and power. "But the Father abiding in me does his works." The Father abiding in me does his works. So Jesus is the one who's speaking, has the authority to say what the Father has told him. Certainly he believes the words of the Father, or he wouldn't have come to earth with the promise that you're going to submit to the cross, but I will raise you up. But where's the power source in this? Would you put that verse back up for me? Verse 10. "The words that I say, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father in me does his works." So who is enforcing the words that Jesus spoke? The Father is. Whose power is enforcing the words that Jesus spoke? The Father is. Do you begin to see the picture? How many of us, as we've tried to walk in this, say, "In the name of Jesus, I cast you out." And it's almost like we're thinking in our hearts, "Please go. Don't make a show of it." That's not the believing that we need to have in exercising that. We must know that when we speak, just like Jesus, it's not us doing or executing that power. It's the Father doing His works. Therefore, when you and I command the devil to do something, whose knee does he have to bow to? It's not mine. It's to bow to Jesus, because that's where He's been exalted, above all power and authority. Because it's Him with His Father that is enforcing the words that we speak here. So once I get over the fact that it's not about me, that I don't have to convince the devil, that I don't have to execute any power over the devil, I just speak the words with authority, just like Jesus did, operating as a man, confident in power. Now, think back to what Peter and John said. Isn't that essentially what they said? It's by the name of Jesus, or by the authority in Jesus, that we've been given, that we speak these words. But who did they know did the works? The Father did those works. Now, I can sum that all up, just, it'll be redundant, but it's a point worth making by asking a question. When Jesus was on this earth, who was the enforcer of the words He spoke? The Father was. And you know something? It hasn't changed a bit. That's the same way we are to walk. Now, let's look at an example. Go with me to Luke 7. In fact, I'll make this statement as we get ready to go. To just leave that there. When the Father told Jesus what to say, He was obligating Himself to perform those things when Jesus said them. Do I need to say that again? When the Father instructed Jesus what to say and showed Him what to do, then the Father Himself was obligating Himself to Jesus to perform those very things, to bring those things about. And glory to God, He trusts us with that as well. In Luke 7, starting with the 6th verse here, we're going to read, and this is the account where a centurion comes to Jesus. Now, what was a centurion? He was a Roman soldier who was over 100 men. He had authority over those men. He told them, and you'll see this in the verse, He told them what to do. And the men had no choice to obey. Why? Because this man was so strong and so rough and tough? No. Because if they disobeyed Him, then they had to answer to the Emperor of Rome, to the one who had all the power. So we see an analogy to what we've just seen and how this worked. So Jesus is asked to come and heal a dear servant of His who was gravely ill. And so He started on His way. And this continues and said, and when He was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to Him, saying, Lord, don't trouble Yourself further, for I'm not worthy for You to come under my roof. Well, evidently that didn't bother Jesus, because He thought He was worthy to come do Him. And for those of you who think, well, I'm not worthy to operate in this manner either, that's your view. If you've been born again, Jesus sees you as having been made worthy. And so I need to conform to His idea, not mine. And then the next verse says, for this reason, centurion continues to talk and said, I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed. So if Jesus was going to this man's house to raise him up, then what do we know? The Father was well pleased that He did that. He had either shown him or instructed him to go. But the servant says, just speak the word. Now, how can he say that to Jesus and know that his servant will be healed? Look at the next verse. For I also am a man placed under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. Next verse. Now, when Jesus heard this, He marveled at Him. Why did He marvel at Him? Because He had just defined, with His example of being under authority and yet in authority, how the kingdom of God works then as Jesus walked the earth, and how it works today for you and I. And then He said, I have not even found so much great faith in Israel. In other words, I've not seen anybody that understands this and talks about it that way. And then Jesus goes on in Matthew's accounts and said, let it be done unto you as you have believed. And what happened to the servant? He was made whole. He was healed. Now, I want to read this to you, and I'm going to use the Passion Translation several times. We're not able to show it on the screen, but I want you to listen carefully with how this reads. We're going to start with verse 6. Jesus started off with him, but on his way there, he was stopped by friends of the captain who gave this message. Master, don't bother to come to me in person, for I'm not good enough for you to enter my home. I'm not worthy to even come out and meet you. And this is where it really gets interesting in the Passion. But if you would just release the manifestation of healing right where you are, how's he going to do that? He's not going to lay hands on the man because he's not near the man. How did he do it? He spoke words. He executed authority by what he spoke. This goes on to say, I'm just an ordinary man, but I understand the power of authority, and I see that authority is working through you. Whose authority was working through Jesus? The Father's was. Whose authority are we under today? Our Lord Jesus and the Father, but through Jesus. It goes on and then it concludes by saying, so Master, just speak the word and healing will flow. And that man understood authority. Who spoke the words? Jesus did. Who caused the power to come about? The Father did. Now again, this is essential that we believe this. I think it's the book of James that tells us that demons believe God also. So what is the difference between you and I and a demon in the way we believe God? And I would submit to you, it's we have faith in the Word of God that causes us to be willing to act on what we believe. And one of the ways that we act on what we believe is by speaking that word. So again, very, very important that we say and speak what the Word of God tells us over our matters. Now, let's go look at Luke 10, because I think we see a clear picture here of the Lord enforcing, the Father enforcing the words that were spoken. In Luke 10, we want to read verses 1 and 2 to set the stage. Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two and two ahead of him to every city and every place where he himself was going. That's almost a prophetic act of what we've been charged with today. And Jesus was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into whose harvest? His harvest. Who's taking responsibility for this harvest? The Father is. Jesus is. And then skip down to verse 8. Verse 8 says, in whatever city you enter, they receive you, and they receive you, eat what's set before you. And then verse 9, and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, did these people, these 70, do they have any ability to bring healing in and of themselves? No. But what has Jesus done? He has delegated authority to them to go in His name and bring healing. So now let's go over and look in verse 17 at what they said when they came back. 17 says, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They seem shocked. But now we've covered enough scripture today for you to begin to see that if you speak to a demon in the authority you've been given, and we're going to reinforce that some more, what must that demon do? He must obey your commands. Am I making him leave? No, the Father is taking the words that He's given to me to speak, and He's enforcing those. So we don't need to battle with demons. When we say, be gone and shut up, the Father will back your words, because that's basically all Jesus said to demons over and over. Get out and be quiet. And look at what it says they're subject. They are subject to us in your name. So I go back to the early discussion. In your authority. The same thing that Peter and John were telling to the religious Pharisees and rulers of their day. So these guys were surprised, but we shouldn't be, and we don't have to wonder, will they? Now, continue on to verse 18. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now, I've heard a lot of explanations on this, but let me tell you what I believe this verse is telling us. Jesus comes back to them and says, you seemed amazed at this. When darkness rebelled against light in heaven, they were gone, just like that. Now, I don't believe God got up from the throne. I believe he just said to Michael, speak to him. And he cast him out like lightning. That's pretty quick. 1 second. Lightning, speed of light, 6.5 times around the earth, I believe, if my math was anywhere close to correct. So, all Jesus is saying is, why does this surprise you? This is how darkness is supposed to react to light. This is how your body is supposed to react when darkness is trying to take it over with pain or disease, when you speak to it and say, be gone. And then he continues on in verse 19. Behold, Jesus says, I have given you authority. That's the Greek word exousia, which is translated authority. But let me tell you what else it's translated, because I've talked to you about this linkage between power, might, and authority. This word is also translated authority, power, right, liberty, and strength. So it just reinforces that. That's what we've been given. And then the Lord works on those words that we speak. So behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means injure you. Now we take that word and we just say, I've been given authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and nothing's going to injure me. And that is true as long as what? As long as we are walking in the authority that we've been given. Let me read you the Passion Translation for this verse. Now that you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. That's the kingdom of darkness. Let me read that again, because that's good news. I have imparted to you all my authority, Jesus is saying, to trample over his kingdom, talking about the devil and the kingdom of darkness. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Now, this is a phrase that I really want to focus on. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in his authority. But what happens if we don't walk in his authority? If we don't believe we have the power, the authority to speak those words, then what have we done? We've stepped out of his authority, and if we're not careful, we're stepping into trouble. Because where are we protected from this? When we're speaking his words, when we're exercising that authority that he has given us. Now, Jesus said in this, I've imparted my authority to you. So I want to ask you, when did you have his authority imparted to you? Was it, the answer is probably correct that I heard someone say, but let me just emphasize it. Was it when someone came and laid hands on you at some meeting and prayed for authority to be imparted to you? No. It was exactly at the time you said, Jesus, I believe you. I ask you to come into my heart. I confess you as my Lord and Savior before people. And you are what? Born again. That authority comes with the package. It comes with the package because we as believers are God's plan for these last days. He doesn't have another plan. We are it, walking in his authority. And then verse 20 goes on and says, nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, but that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Now, why would he say that? Is he just saying, be glad that you get a ticket to heaven? No. What is all this in context of? Authority. Be glad that because your name is written in heaven, you've got authority to walk in all the power, over all the power of the enemy, and to overcome them. So what a glorious source of identity that we have in our Lord Jesus. But he's also the source of our authority to trample over all the elements. Verse 20 in the Passion. However, your real source of joy isn't merely that these spirits submit to your authority, but that your names are written in the journals of heaven and that you belong to God's kingdom. Listen to the way this verse closes in the Passion. This is the true source of your authority. It's not how perfect you are. It's not how good. It's not about anything to do with works. This authority is part of the grace that God has gifted to us as a born-again believer that we don't need to learn to walk in it. And it requires faith to act on these words because this is what we've been charged to do. Now let's go look at Matthew 28. You're going to say, we looked at that last week. Yes, we did, but we're going to look at it from a different perspective. Let me read all three and then we'll come back to verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, I want us to go back to the 18th verse. And I want you to remember now that Jesus was the firstborn of the dead. And just as he was born from sin, which he was not his, it was all our sin, then we too have been born again. And so he is the firstborn of many brethren, of which we are. So we're in this partaking. One of the things, if you begin to read the Passion Translation, and it's an excellent study tool. I wouldn't make it the only thing I read, but it's an excellent study tool. And they have some really good footnotes. For this verse in chapter 28, verse 18, this footnote reads, there is a sentence found in the Aramaic translation that is missing between verses 18 and 19. And is missing in all the Greek manuscripts except one. So we have a couple that do agree. And here's what this verse says. As my Father has sent me, so I send you. So allow me, if you will, to read verse 18 with this change. Then Jesus came close to them and said, all the authority of this universe has been given to me. As my Father has sent me, so I send you. And that's what he's really saying when he's saying, all authority has been given to me, therefore you go. So that makes perfect sense to me. And not only does it make sense, it builds my faith. Because I have been charged to go and do and to be sent just as Jesus was. So I want to ask you, I'll ask for me, do I have authority over sickness? Do you have authority over sickness? And is that the same authority that Jesus has? That same authority that he delegated to his disciples and to the 70? Well, I don't want an opinion. I want to know what God's Word says. And over and over and over, as we've seen today and many more that time just doesn't permit to cover, the answer is yes, absolutely. I can hear the Father saying, speak my word, and I will back up everything you say. In fact, I hear him saying to some of you today that if you will begin to speak the word, standing in your position of authority, things that you have spoken to in days gone by, as you speak to them, knowing your authority and knowing I am backing you up, then things will change. I don't know who that word is for. It's for someone online probably and a number of us here. I can certainly say that over my own body. But how do we activate this authority? By having faith in the Word of God. 1 John 4:17. And I'm just going to focus on the last seven words that start with so. And as you're looking on the screen, those of you online, it's on the fourth line. In fact, it back up. Starts with because. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. So I want to ask you a question. Is Jesus loved? So are you. Is Jesus seated in a position of authority that was delegated, that was given to Him as He was exalted from the right to the right hand of the Father? Yes. Where are you seated? If you're a believer, you're seated in that same position of authority. Or is Jesus healed? We're talking about healing school today, so just ask that question. Is Jesus healed today? The answer to that is yes. And this verse says what? As He is, so are we in this world today. I've used the Passion Translation a number of times today. Let me give you this entire verse in that translation. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us so that we might fearlessly face the day of judgment. Why? Because Jesus has already been judged for us. And then it concludes by saying, because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. All that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. So, saints, maybe those of you who don't believe, but who want to, we can quickly introduce you to that, because it just says we need to acknowledge that Jesus was sent into this world as the only begotten Son of God. He was raised up on the cross with your sins and my sins. He submitted to that cross and submitted to death on that cross. They didn't take His life. He gave it up for you and I. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And when we believe that and believe that God raised Him up from the dead, resurrected Him with that great power, that He exalted Jesus, gave Him a name above all names, placed Him in that position of authority, then when you do that, when you confess that, you are born again. But you need to confess it. You don't need to be ashamed of it. You need to speak that out to someone. That's why we lead confessions quite often in this. But I want you to see, you can get that authority, but also, we, if you'll submit to it, we can speak to disease that's in your body if you're not a believer, and that must obey if you'll submit to the authority that He's placed in believers. So today, I just want to declare over you, it is time for darkness to flee. Sickness, disease, pain, anxiety, depression, lack, you go in the name of Jesus. You depart from His body. Kingdom of darkness, you must flee. The Word says that you could not overcome the light of Jesus when He came into this world. And so we command you now, bow your knee. You have no authority, no right in the lives of these that we're praying for. And we command you to go in Jesus' name. For some of you, this may sound very strange. For many of you, it ought to be an affirmation. And it ought to be a faith builder that I can speak to my body. And I can also speak to others and their body as the Lord leads me to them and draws me to pray. So what do we need to do? We need to be sensitive to the Spirit. Take time to fellowship with the Father so that you hear His commands, His words to you, so that you can be sent out and go and do the same things that Jesus did. So, Father, as we close, if there's anything that you want me to say, would you just drop it in my heart right now? I speak to weariness in a number of people. It's like I can see so many things that have come against you, and you've turned to your right, to your left, you turn around. Everywhere you turn, new things are coming against you. And I say, know that you're loved of the Lord. And so, Father, we speak peace to these people, to these believers. I ask that a revelation of you being there dwelling inside them and the peace that you bring begin to well up from their spirit, that they're loved, that they can have joy, and that that peace will rule and reign in their life. I just keep seeing the picture of the word P-A-I-N, pain. So for those people here and those looking, we speak to pain in your body, and in the name of Jesus, we say, be gone now. And I urge you, begin to do something that you couldn't do without pain before. But what do we learn today? Faith doesn't look right after a command to see if something changed. Faith says, I said it, I believe it, and that's the way it is. In other words, faith doesn't call things as they are. It calls things that be not as though they are. So don't take yourself out of that position of authority by looking and saying, well, I guess it didn't work. We just gave the devil permission to enter back in as we stepped out of that authority. Step back in that authority. As long as you stay in his authority, what did we see? No thing can injure you. Pain, again, I say to you, by the name of Jesus, by the authority that he's placed in me as a believer, you depart from the hands, feet, knees, shoulder pains, hip pains. Go in the name of Jesus now. Father, we bless your name. We started off saying we glorify the name of Jesus. We give you praise and honor, and we end by saying the same thing. You alone, Jesus, are the exalted one. Thank you for including us in your plans. And take these words that have been ministered today and make them come alive in our heart as we meditate over and over. Make us keenly aware, Father, of how to continue to walk daily, consistently in this position of authority that you've placed us in, staying there, not stepping out of it, so that we stay in a place where we are untouchable. And it's in that magnificent, that highly exalted name, the name of Jesus, that everybody said, amen, and so be it.